This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Hello. Welcome to the Friday here. 5th of... this American clock in the studio here always throws me off. It is the 11th of May. It's not May the 11th.
It's the 5th of November. What a joy. 5th
of November, I know. Because Americans, they absolutely struggle in life unless they know what the month is. Morning, Gord. How are you doing today?
Yeah, Ben. I'm not too unlucky. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's Friday. I've had a pretty productive week, which means that as a human, I think I can progress. I mean, you know what you got to do? It's like this age-old saying, you got to earn your beers in life.
Well, I was going to say, do
not
you
just from a health perspective, precisely. But from a general, I can now do fuck all perspective.
Do you feel as if you've earned your failures this weekend? Your self-indulgences, your self-harm? Have you done enough that you can feel like you haven't cancelled all of it by the end of the weekend?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, I work pretty hard on this show. It's like one tick. I did something yesterday, which is kind of cool. I'm trying to sell video concepts to people, yeah. Like as an actual content and variety of things. So obviously, playing to my strengths, which is golf. So yesterday, I actually filmed because I want to start the series of like a how to, just basic golf tuition stuff.
Okay.
So yesterday, I spent most of the day doing that, and I felt pretty good. Like, this is something different. I've invested in a new camera and that's going quite well. So again, it's like I've got my core responsibilities, which is basically the show, writing, sharing dodgy things on a WhatsApp to friends.
Yes.
And now
I've heard that you do that from time to time.
I'm just incrementally trading up. So yeah,
that's cool.
Pretty good about that. So
you know what you should do, dude, which would be beneficial to me. I mean, I know how to shoot a video with my camera on my phone, obviously, and I know how to shoot an Instagram one where you can like stop start and make it kind of look vaguely edited
stories.
But I would just like shoot stop shoot. I do like very very rudimentary editing, using air quotes when I make videos of my cat. But like it would be cool for me to be shown like someone to go, okay, because you make cool little videos and they don't strike me like they take you 4 days to do. You probably spend an hour or two on them, like when you've just shot some shit.
Yeah, well, look, I've got various things you do, and if you do follow me on YouTube, subtle plug, I follow the bounce. You know, there's videos that I make that do take like a day or two, but that's okay. Because of how I shoot the stuff rather than just sitting down for 2 days.
Yeah, I've got mates that seem to like naturally be able to just edit cool clips out of different bits and pieces of stuff, and then I go watch a tutorial and it's 27 minutes long and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, you can't. No one can commit to that.
Do you guys, when friends send you a video clip, especially in WhatsApp, but also when they tag you and stuff on Facebook, open it, see how long it is, and then decide whether you're going to play it at all?
Completely. Mubs, I bet you do that.
No, I don't.
I got really? A 2-minute limit. So
if someone sends you a 38-minute clip, you'll go, I'll give it a chance.
No, I mean, it depends who's sending it to me.
Yeah.
If it's somebody I know gets me and is not going to waste my time and it's going to be good content.
Mm.
If it's somebody that I don't really consider to be worth my time, then I'll just skip through the video.
Do you have those friends, because I know I do, that you know and love them in real life, but they send you so much bullshit in WhatsApp, and so much of it is just not funny, or stuff you saw 3 years ago, but then like they'll send you something now and then that is like important, or is a direct question to you, is like a PDF invitation to their wedding, and be all like disgruntled when they're like, dude, you didn't reply to my thing, and you're like, no, dude, I actually don't open anything of yours.
Yeah, you get that, but then... But it's a very good point you make, because what we share, I think, is becoming part of our personality. You know, like in the past, we'd be
your brand.
Yeah, like because obviously we're all brands. You know, this is how it is. But in the past, you know, you'd be known for your, say, your manners or your chivalry or your generosity or your punctuality. Now, I reckon that there's a social standing in what jokes you share.
Yeah, the content you share. And I've also always believed in like we've gone on many times about the whole thing of fake news and checking stuff, but like I really do feel a responsibility if something either sounds too good to be true, too bad to be true, or like technologically unlikely, to just Google it. I timed myself Googling an article. There was a picture of a sign that had said like, welcome to Kansas, 25 whatever thousand people welcomed anally. And it was like, oh my God, the importance of a proofreader, right? So it's like they're welcome to Kansas sign. And it said annually instead of annually. And everyone was laughing.
Must be quite a backlog to try to get into that town.
Yeah.
It has to be approved in such a manner.
Yeah. But I was like, and people tag me because of my background in writing. And they're like, haha, Gord, you know. And I'm like, shoot, that wouldn't have happened. So I timed myself. It took me 11 seconds. Now, bearing in mind, I was sitting on a desktop computer. But it took me 11 seconds to Google it, see that it was false, and then post the link underneath saying false. I would imagine it'd take double that if you were using your mobile phone because it's a bit less, you know, you don't clickety-clack on the keyboard as hard. But I take it like you're an asshole who believes tall tales. Like say, for example, your grandfather told you that he was friends with Christopher Robin and you just went your whole life telling that story without questioning it. Now, that would be okay if you'd had Google. That wouldn't be okay if you'd had Google at the time. It's literally makes you the equivalent of that person who gets told a bullshit story that's obviously bullshit, like a tall tale, and you go around telling everyone because you believe it. Like your susceptibility to bullshit and then your propensity for sharing the bullshit affects your level of honesty, because now you have a responsibility to check bullshit before sharing it.
Yeah, look, every now and again, like the whole Kansas welcome to Annely thing, I mean, that's just funny. It's just a joke. You know, obviously there's a level to this, but you're right. People, we need to take pride in what we do because it does give us a social standing. It's by understanding this, because once bullshit starts getting spread, then bullshit becomes the norm.
Yeah,
which you don't really want. Like the whole Flat Earth Society, for instance. God. So you know that...
That is strange.
So... A couple of weeks ago, the Flat Earthers, who are very much like the BLF, the EFF, they generally just sprout shit for attention. But now, Aussie Man Reviews, one of my favorite comedians online in general, just great online personas, he's got this new show where him and his mate Mozza, they basically just have a discussion over beers. So Mozza is like rough as a goat's knee. And so Aussie Man Reviews had a whole thing about the Flat Earth Society, Flat Earth, and does Australia exist? Because the Flat Earthers say, well, it's in the corner, so it doesn't happen.
All right.
So these two had a bit
That makes sense. They'd be close to the ice wall.
Yeah. So these two had a bit of a go about this on Aussie Man's Twitch show. So every Friday, him and Mozza go live. It's pretty funny.
Exist. I did a video about that recently because the Flat Earth Society believes Australia does not exist.
Well,
and I covered the topic. I was like, well, you know, here's some archival footage of some classic moments from Australia.
Yep.
And, you know, we definitely exist. We exist.
Well, I mean, but it's one of those, or do we exist in the Matrix? This is the thing. You and I could be, like, we could be CGI. You know, this show could be going out on the internet. We could be animated. That's possible. But, I mean, I think I'm real. I'm fairly sure. Yeah, because, you know, I did say I was having, like, you know, a few issues before with the bowel area. And I reckon if I was an animated character, there wouldn't be
that. Okay, so you need to go and watch Aussie Man's Twitch show if you like a bit of raw Australian humour. Moz is just, he's just such a beaut. These guys had like a 4-minute discussion over Tim Tams and mint slices. I mean, you can't trust someone who'll choose a mint slice over a Tim Tam. Talk about the bullshit, then you get like another level of humour where you get embraced, like with these guys. I mean, they live in Perth. They're two just general Aussie characters, and they're just so funny because they are embracing the bullshit and they're turning it into something.
And the way that he's taking it completely seriously and going, look, I'm fairly certain I'm real, but I mean, at the same time, I could be computer graphics. I don't know. I'm like, how can I be sure?
Moz is a beaut. He's got a big dirty John Deere hat on, a lumberjack shirt, he's got a beard. He looks like he lived in the trailer. He's got a massive vape-like structure. It's not even a vape pen. It's just this vape.
Yeah, like a vape brick, a vape VCR, a vape VCR.
So, We like to keep you updated on the greatest TV shows currently on the go. So I started watching a new show on Netflix recently. I don't know how new it is, but it's bloody good because it is one of the darkest shows I think I've ever seen. But when I say dark, you mean people, you know, there's like this gratuitous violence and sex, and sometimes it doesn't really work. But this show...
My life is an ever-swirling toilet that just won't flush. I don't think I can die.
So the show starts off by this guy looking into a mirror. He blows his brains out, basically. He then goes into a disco montage where his head is just spewing blood and he's dancing with girls. It is so good. Now, you watch the first episode and it looks weird. It looks stupid. When you think, like, how is the show pitched? Basically, there's this ex-cop who's just an all-out badass. He looks like Fuff Duplessis, but he's an ex. I mean, this Oki's just a mountain of a man, and he's a badass, and he just kills people. So he is now being encountered by this make-believe unicorn, which has actually been sent to him by the child he does not know, who has been kidnapped by a bad Santa. Like, you can't make up the how ridiculous the show is. And you watch the first episode, and you think, like, I don't have mushrooms, so I can't actually watch the show any further. And then, bam, it just gets so good. It's like the way it's shot, the humor, the violence, it's got everything. It's just so funny and so dark, but also just so well done. And this bad Santa character who basically just abducts kids, and then he sends cards to the parents basically saying, I've got your child, and it's a Christmas card. So he's like the evilest Santa
I saw
ever.
The first episode of this. It's Happy, right?
Happy.
Happy. I struggled to get through it. I found the unicorn very difficult to deal with from like an obnoxiously chipper type of perspective. But I did, you know, without giving too much away to the listeners, there was a scene where a prostitute was busy with a man that ended up being a kind of kill everybody situation. Thankfully, the prostitute was not the target of the violence, but it was, like you say, it was dark, but it still kind of makes you smile. It was like, wow, you know, that's some murdering right there. That's some creative murdering there, guys.
Yeah, so I went to like episode 4 now, and I totally hooked. I haven't been this hooked in the show in quite some time.
Yeah, your recommendations for TV have always been good, so I'm going to finish episode 1 and then give it like 1 or 2 more. I'm kind of like now catching up on some old stuff. I'm on one hand grateful that I have now discovered Toast of London and I'm about 10 episodes into it, and I'm also
bummed. A Downton Abbey spin-off.
It's one of the guys from I forget the name, but it's the one guy from the IT Crowd. And it's a couple of like just, you know,
Richard.
It's a couple of dudes. He's the kind of like overweight one with the bouffant long hair. Not the like Afro dude, the dude with the straight long hair that's overweight. And I think he's their boss. I actually was never much of an IT Crowd guy. But it's just got a whole bunch of like really funny British comedians in it that you'll recognize from things here and there. Okay. You know, I would imagine, guessing in my mind, in Britain there's like a crowd of funny dudes that kind of overlap. Some of them will have been on the Mighty Boosh, and you'll kind of see them here and there. But it's clearly, it's just British humor at its finest, and it's so funny. Especially if you've ever kind of encountered people even in South Africa, in the theater kind of world where they drink red wine, don't make ends meet, but consider themselves really sophisticated. It's basically a theater actor whose career has never been completely amazing, but he's going through a divorce, he's middle-aged, and he's poked his credibility by being in what is ostensibly the worst play ever. You never find out what happens in it, but he's in the worst play of all time. People hate him, and his life is in the bin, but he's optimistic, and his name is Stephen Toast. Toast of London. It's very funny. If you like British humor. If you don't like British humor, you won't survive one episode.
Yeah, well, a lot of people just don't understand it, but yeah, it's worth giving it a go. So, it is Friday. Yes. Gareth and Sia are not currently with us, but we live in hope. We live in hope. But it is the weekend, so well done for getting to this point. Mubs, any big plans or of interest that are going into the weekend? Besides your microphone being on?
I'm trying to remember what's on my agenda.
Just trying to remember.
It's Friday. It's Mother's Day, so a lot of my family members who are mothers were planning like a thing to just spoil all of them. So it will be a civilized weekend for me.
Well, like spoil them in what way?
Just like get together, have some lunch, some drinks, pamper them, that kind of thing.
Appreciation of mom in general.
Sure, you know, these women need a break every now and again.
Yeah.
So they're going to dump their kids at like a central point, and then we're going to just like cater to them and make them feel special.
And for that, you can't really have a hangover.
No, it's not ideal, especially because a lot of their children, you know, are below the ages of 7. So it's little.
You don't want 7-year-olds when you hang over.
When you're hungover, no, they're little monsters. They will outrun you. They will outwit you, outplay you. They will drive you to insanity. So you've got to be in the right setting.
And if you don't have kids of your own, your brain hasn't learned to produce that chemical that numbs you to how annoying kids actually are and lets you not want to grab it by the foot and throw it as far as you can when it's screaming for its own entertainment 1 meter away from its parent, who is literally got the software in its brain installed to not hear the child.
Exactly.
There's 400 people that can hear and hate hearing your child. You're the only person for half a kilometer that can't hear your child screaming. But I'm putting a negative spin on this. It sounds like a lovely time, what you've got planned. And you know, Mab's got a bit of a cough. I'm also waiting for that to strike me.
I should have just stayed my ass at home, actually.
Ah, still bad, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Mavs, how about this? You do the news and then take the rest of the day off.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
I mean, sorry, is anyone else in charge here?
It's amazing how when Ben's in charge, he fades me out often. And when he's in charge, he like grants you the day off.
No, I think you and Ben have worked out your issues, haven't you?
Most of
our issues. He's not playing you out with music.
I don't really have any issues.
Just yet.
But if Gord wants to talk three times more than he has to, I mean, Gord, this is how we learn.
I know.
This is how we learn.
And there are people out there on the internet who've sent me messages being like, hey, dude, like, you know, you should really work your shit out with Ben. You guys, you're both great guys, and I think if you just got off on the right foot, you wouldn't hate each other so much. And I'm always like, nah, me and Ben are cool. We share memes when it's not fighting on airtime.
Yeah, see, I don't really have the time or inclination to really dislike people in life. And if I do, then it's pretty obvious.
I've been out in public with you, Ben. You dislike people in life. I think you just avoid them once you dislike them.
But there is no connections to the whole thing. I don't string them along. It's like, anyway. Yeah. But another thing, before we get to the news with my buddy, which will be her final act for the week. So she's very excited about this. The whole new energy towards the news. Deadpool 2 is coming out next week.
Can't wait. Deadpool 2. I can hardly sleep.
From what I can understand, because it's, for some reason it's very hard to actually get the premiere Tuesday. As a normal citizen who doesn't get invited to events like Sia does, you can watch it on Tuesday. Mm. But, like, this has got to be the most successfully hyped, marketed movie franchise spin-off or whatever it is. Ryan Reynolds is obviously hugely involved in this. So this is a guy who's dabbled in superhero-ness before. And the Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like he tried to get into it, but then he found, like, you know what? How about I just be me? Because Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds.
And he's the biggest Deadpool fan of his. Exactly. He's Canadian. Deadpool's Canadian. I mean, I can talk about this for ages, but please continue.
But it is. It's like it's him. So he's found this perfect way just to have the perfect movie for himself. And here he is. And he's marketed it so well. He brings in like cult heroes. Like he was doing a whole thing about Celine Dion.
Well. Like as a fan of Deadpool, the way that he like honors the canon, like, is really satisfying. He's done it properly.
So he has marketed this movie like to death. And now David Beckham.
You ever heard David Beckham speak? It's like he mouth sex to can of helium.
David Beckham's the latest person to be caught up in this whole media showdown. So there's this great video going around, and I'm sure people will share it with you all weekend. It's just that funny. David Beckham's in his lounge. He's watching Deadpool 1, where he gets basically his voice gets ripped off, and then he sees in his phone from Deadpool saying, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And then there's a knock at the door.
I am so sorry.
With milk and cookies. So.
Too soon? Yeah, too soon.
Lo siento. Amor, lo siento.
Tickets for the cup.
I can't wait to not watch Italy play the Netherlands.
I can't stay mad at you.
Healing hugs. Here we go. Oh, God, finally, that feels so good. You smell amazing, like cinnamon and manhood. Let's never let go.
No, we should let go.
Let's let go of this burden together. Just wonderful.
No.
Okay.
What was you apologizing for, anyway?
Well, just the bit in Deadpool with the voice.
Doesn't ring a bell.
What did you think I was apologizing for?
I mean, there's a list. Green Lantern, yep. RIPD,
horrible.
Selfless,
terrible.
Late Trinity.
Oof.
Bolt Neck.
Woo! Bolt Neck was a masterpiece!
I'm so sorry. I yelled, I raised my voice, I lost control. Please open up. Take my breath away.
So we can all watch that as of next week.
Very exciting. They actually make reference in Deadpool 1 to so many things, like how the third X-Men movie was crap and how the third Wolverine. But I mean, and what's amazing about what happened there was the fact that he, his whole life, had wanted to play Deadpool. Then he played Deadpool in the first Wolverine movie that Gavin Hood directed, which was literally the most abominable. It was as bad as any superhero adaptation has ever been. And they butchered Deadpool. They took everything about him. I mean, he's called the Merc with a mouth because he wisecracks so much, and in that he didn't have a mouth. And Ryan Reynolds was so upset about it that he pitched what they're doing now. He pitched it to the studios. They were like, no way are we financing a R-rated Marvel comic movie.
Exactly.
He then paid himself to make what would ultimately become the car, that really cool scene in the beginning of Deadpool where they're in the traffic and he's murdering everybody. He made it like 7-minute demo of that, but full production, and then took that to the studios and said, guys, this is what we want to do. Like, here's what I was talking about. They then still rejected it. It went viral at Comic-Con. It was shown. It went viral on the internet, and the virality of it in the internet, the nerds, and when I include myself in that lovingly, the Deadpool nerds and everyone just went so batshit for it that the studio funded it. But he owns a huge chunk of it. Exactly. He's the executive producer. So not only did he get to make his movie, get to be Deadpool, who's like his childhood hero, and get to do it the way he wanted to do it. He owns a huge chunk of it. He's not just the lead. He like has creative control and financial control. It's a brilliant story.
And you can just see his driving force behind the humor and all that kind of stuff. But it is time to get into the news, the final news for the week. It's been a good week of news. There's been a lot of stories. And now my buddy has five more for you.
Okay, so the police have confirmed that they're investigating a case of murder and attempted murder. This is after an attack on a mosque in Verulam in KZN. One person died and two others are in a critical condition. Officers launched a manhunt for the three unknown men on Thursday afternoon, who they believe to be behind the attack. They are said to have fled the scene in a vehicle with no registration plates.
I'm still digesting it. I mean, that's a pretty hardcore story for Friday.
Sorry, my laptop, it's on its last leg. And then the Cape Town mayor
doesn't even have legs.
Wow, the Cape Town mayor Patricia de Lille and her legal team are going to court today because they're serious about taking on the DA's decision to oust her.
Yeah, I hear so.
Yeah, no. So her lawyers are going to go in and they're going to basically argue about how she should be allowed to keep her job until June, when her legal challenge to the validity of her removal from the office will be heard. Because I think that the DA are looking to put, you know, some interim mayor in that position up until June. So Patricia's lawyers are saying, well, wait a minute. Why don't you just let her stay until June then? What's the problem here?
Yeah, look, they've bungled this thing from start to finish. They really have. And now, with each new day, there's a new bit of bad press around this.
Yeah, sure.
And Patricia's obviously lapping it up because, right or wrong, whatever it is, it just seems like everyone's ganging up on her. And no one likes that. No one likes to see one person ganged up on.
Yeah. And then the government is going to review legislation that dictates the expiry date for prosecutions, specifically of sexual offenders. You know how a lot of people say, oh, well, why did you wait 20 years to go and report your rapist or to go and report the person who sexually harassed you?
Yeah, because it damaged you that much that it's taken you like a goodly chunk of your life to kind of build the courage and recover enough to face it.
Well, our Justice Minister, Michael Masuta, saying, well, and maybe it might be time for us to review this whole thing and get rid of that whole expiry date notion when it comes to sexual assault and rape. I don't see how this can not be a good thing.
Mabs, as you've always said, yeah, because it's the men who decide this, like who decide these rules over what happens to the woman. I mean, who's to say there's a protocol? Like, you know, people are saying, oh, harden up. If it's happened to you, you must go straight to the cops.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, because you know what the trauma and the heartache is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then in some international news, for the first time since driving out the Islamic State, Iraqis are going to go to the polls on Saturday in an election that will shape attempts to heal the country's deep divisions. There are three main ethnic groups and religious groups in Iraq, the majority Shiite Arabs, then the minority Sunni Arabs, and the Kurds. And basically over the past 15 years, they've basically been at loggerheads with each other. And now on Saturday, they're going to have their first official election since driving out the Islamic State. So a lot of eyes will be on Iraq over this coming weekend.
Good for you, Iraq. And one thing, I know you Shiites and Kurds can never get it together, but you got to understand that when there's division and there's all this kind of stuff, that's how ISIS was born. Okay, I know America invented ISIS because that's a great conspiracy theory. But they must also understand, like, they've gone through this hell of ISIS, that for them to keep up these stupid, childish, petty rivalries or whatever it is, I know it's a lot of history and you can't just say get over it, but they've got to use this as an example. This is how you unify. You've just defeated ISIS. Claim it, because Donald Trump will otherwise. Great stepping stone to future happiness.
Yeah. And then lastly, you know, since you guys were talking about superheroes and movies and that sort, somebody has gone and stolen Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man suit. Big crime here, people. Big, big crime.
He's got a real one.
That sounds like a tough thing to steal.
Yeah.
Los Angeles police said that the gold and red suit, which was worn by Downey Jr. in the original 2008 superhero smash hit, was reported missing from a storage facility. According to Officer Christopher, he said that the owners of the warehouse believe that the iconic costume, which is valued at over $300,000, vanished from the prop storage warehouse. And
how much? 300.
It's worth over 300,000.
So that's like 4 or 5 South African bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one who's good at maths.
No, that's purely an estimate. It may be miles off.
Okay.
But yeah, see, like, and that's like, okay, so it obviously doesn't have the capabilities of the suit in the movie. It can't do all that stuff. No. So it's worth 300,000 US just as like a suit that doesn't do the stuff that the real one does. I'm struggling to get this very simple principle out, but I think you guys understand. It's technically a fake Iron Man suit, and it's worth $300,000.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, a good knockoff of what happens in the movies.
But like a fake Iron Man suit's better than a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But
how do you hide a thing like that?
Well, this is my thing. Now you've stolen it. Is it because you are like a bit of an obsessed fan? Or are you looking to offload it to somebody else? Because how are you going to do that without attracting attention to yourself?
Yeah, you can't imagine there's lots of these around. But at the same time, Robert Downey Jr. is worth $260 million. I'm pretty sure he can...
What?
Maybe just have another one.
I'm pretty sure it's
I'm not condoning crime or whatever.
Yeah. You Googled that, right? It's actually $260 million.
Well, as of last year,
yes.
I'm sure he's even richer now.
I'm pretty sure the suit has been stolen by, you know, the same people who would pay for, I don't know, tuft of grass from the pitch at Old Trafford or something online. Like, to me, it sounds like that kind of person stole the suit.
Yeah.
I would pay for that.
Or it was Ryan Reynolds who stole it, and he's paraded at a premiere for Deadpool 2.
Would be actually the funniest little bit of PR ever.
That, like, would be great.
That would be really funny.
All right, those are the 5 things you need to know.
Just on that, Patricia, the little story, there's a great tweet from Tom Eaton. So it said, you know, Dalian Poffu is now going to be part of her legal team.
Yes.
So Tom Eaton says, well, now that that's been confirmed, Patricia DeLille, one of 2 things are going to happen. Patricia DeLille will get her job back, or she'll open the building for the Proteas. You know, that was his last high-profile case, was Kakisa Rabada. On to cryptocurrencies, which is what happens when people want to speculate and try and make a bit of easy cash while sounding really much like a financial vegan.
Because CrossFit's hard.
Yeah, because CrossFit's hard. I saw an interesting stat the other day, actually, that cryptocurrency, of all the cities in the world where it gets searched, Cape Town is the most prolific when searching cryptocurrencies online.
I would imagine that in a per capita ratio, they probably have quite a high per capita rating of searching for veganism and also CrossFit.
That's what I was going to say. So other cities involved were like San Francisco and like other sort of like, you know, out there cities.
Lefty places, yeah, where they're sensitive.
Yeah, no. I reckon the trifecta's in. I mean, vegan, CrossFit, crypto would be, Cape Town would kill that. But on the Bitcoin price, Bitcoin has, well, it's tanked a bit. To be fair, it's below the $9,000 mark again, $8,944. And Ethereum is just kind of wavering there as well, $735.
Context for those of us who don't care, how's that for the last, like, how's that for the general progress of Bitcoin in its lifestyle frame?
Well, as they say, I mean, from the beginning, it's still progressing upwards. But essentially, it had a good little run the last sort of 10 days or so, but now it's kind of coming back a bit. But it ebbs and flows. God, that's how it works.
But it's a generally positive ebb and flow? Question mark.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
Warren Buffett hates it. I saw a quote from him recently on how much he hates it.
And therefore, that's all that matters. What Warren Buffett says, that's all that matters.
I don't say it's all that matters. I just think he's got a pretty good track record.
No, he does. That whole Berkshire Hathaway thing. I actually saw a really interesting, very interesting video yesterday. Because I try to watch as much as possible on subjects on YouTube. Now, you said like referencing things. When you go onto YouTube, obviously there's a variety of things that post the stories. And these people actually did an entire broadcast from Omaha, Nebraska, around Warren Buffett, like this latest acquisition, what goes into the whole fund that he's got. It's really cool. I'm actually going to get Dory, who obviously runs things on our website here. There's a really great video I found. It's about 5 minutes long, so I'm not going to play it now. And it's a very good like video because it's all animations and illustrations, what this guy does. Basically, how Warren Buffett makes money. And if you ever... Yeah, I mean, it's just so smart how this guy's put it all together.
Yeah. But his book, which I think is like an authorized autobiography, or an authorized biography written by someone else with his cooperation, Snowball... It is really interesting, and I'm not like a, you know, I don't sit and watch the stock markets and know all the terminology and jargon and stuff. I'm not a financial stock market guy, but just his story, and it's inspirational, but just a really, if you're into reading famous people biography books, it's one to check out. Snowball about Warren Buffett. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, he's an interesting guy who's obviously stayed true to himself. I mean, that's one of these.
And made squillions. I think the actual numerical... 80 billion,
I think, is where he is now.
I think the actual numerical value squillion had to be developed for how much money he has, because they didn't have a word for it.
Yeah, just consider that 80 billion. Like, for one person, it's really hard to gauge.
Bill and Linda Gates did convince him, though, to just give... huge portions of it away and leave most of it. He obviously he's not one of those squillionaires who doesn't give their kids anything because it will build their character. Like, if you're one of Warren Buffett's kids or grandchildren, you don't have to count your change to supersize your meal. But like, he doesn't give them like, here's $100 million, go be a crackhead type of thing. And the argument is like, if you gave them $1 billion or you gave them $30 billion, how's it going to affect their lifestyle? So he frequently dumps huge amounts of his gains into the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation, and has left, I'll be making it up if I told you the percentage, but a considerable percentage of his estate to that organization when he dies. And he used to be one of those squillionaires who squirrels their money.
All right, Gord. Amazing. It's a bit of constructive criticism. We weren't padding for time in that second there.
You invite me in to talk.
Ben. No, it was a caveat, as they say. We've got to get to sport.
Let's get to sport.
It's a big weekend because Ireland are playing test match cricket. Can you believe it? In our lifetime, Ireland are officially a test-ranked team now. They're going to be playing Pakistan over the weekend. It's probably the best first team to play because, firstly, they're a big team. So it'll be a big thing. It's a big deal. Ireland, test cricket, a big nation. And secondly, Pakistan are the kind of team that you can kind of beat because they'll have a bad day, they'll be bowled off at 57, and then one of them will be match-fixing or something. So there's a lot on the go here. So big thing for Irish cricket. It does raise the question, though. I know we want to get globalised in the game, get more teams into it and all that kind of stuff, but if there's more test teams playing, it means there's less good test teams playing each other. So the ICC...
Just do that again. If there's more test teams playing... Oh, so you mean there's more crap teams to get thrashed?
Yeah, so let's just say there are eight test teams in the world, okay, strength versus strength, but now you need to throw four other teams into the mix. The best eight teams are going to play each other less because they have to go and play the other teams. I mean, it's a pretty simple kind of breakdown.
Oh, so they don't play more cricket. They have to play a wider variety of opponents.
Exactly. So you take it away from strength versus strength. The ICC are talking about this whole two-tier thing. But the ICC do a lot of talking. Basically, they talk and talk and talk until the BCCI tells them what to do, and then they kind of get into action. That's just how it works. That's not me being cynical. So as much as I'm all for Ireland getting test match status, and Afghanistan have now got test match
status.
Who
are the BCCI? I know about the ICC. They're like the Illuminati that control.
The Board of Complete and Utter Control. In India. So they run world cricket because...
Oh, like Americans at the UN. You guys debate what you want to do, and in the end we'll decide if we're doing it.
Exactly. And I mean, they've just shown now, because when you go to tour Australia, you generally play a day-night test match in Adelaide. That's where it's going now. You get great crowds. It's a great feature. And they said, no, we will not be playing day-night cricket. We'll be playing daytime cricket.
Basically. As the Lord intended.
Exactly. That's what they say, because they've got all this power. So Ireland are test match... team now. Afghanistan are a test match team now. India are going to play Afghanistan, although Virat Kohli thinks it's more important to go play county cricket than play a bunch of Afghans. That's what he said, because they've got to go to England.
Did he phrase it that sensitively?
No, he didn't.
But I also find, like, on the one, like, I like cricket, but I'm not like an expert, but I find that it's cool that in the World Cups and whatever, these smaller nations get to play, because you need more nations getting into it. And there's no reason why Holland, if they stick to it for long enough, can't become a great side, etc. But there are teams there that exist purely to be sodomy fodder. And like...
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, like it is a little bit like, okay, we've got to go through the phase where, like, you know, Papua New Guinea get smoked by 900 and then get bowled out for eight. Like, it's a bit boring to watch, but it's good for development. So it's a balancing act.
Well, just on the development, I would prefer to see these teams more entrenched as T20 or one-day nations before we go into the test match thing. So they can't even make the ICC, again, they've got such a quandary here, that they can't even have these teams in the functioning World Cup, but now you want to give them test match status. So test match is hard. You know, you can't. They've only got a certain amount of players. I mean, Ireland's got 6 million people. 4 million are currently drunk. The other two are trying to get into pop groups. So you've got a very small pool of cricketers that can play. So now you're saying to them, okay, try be great so you can make a World Cup, but also try be great so you can play test cricket. You're asking too much of a certain amount of players here.
I got a pal who's like older than I am. He's that middle aged, and he moved to France and he's made a life there. But he played like junior second team cricket for Transvaal. And then when he went to France and got his citizenship, he played for the national team. And every time they played a game against other like eighth tier countries that you wouldn't think played cricket at all, it was one oak's responsibility to bring the cakes. So you played like you played for France against another country, but you were on cake day.
It's a really big role. It all starts with biscuits in school. Yeah. So that's we're looking forward to cricket. Of course, it's IPL on the go, but we're not really that keen on that. It's nearer the Giro d'Italia, but I mean, there's so much on the go. We need to get to the big stuff, though. It is the final weekend for the PSL and the English Premier League. So if you look at the English Premier League, we all know that's been done and dusted. And all the teams that are going to be relegated, well, they've been relegated. The bottom three are all gone, out in their ass. We spoke about that yesterday. The one talking point here is between Chelsea and Liverpool. Liverpool are currently 2 points clear of Chelsea in fourth position. Chelsea, of course, they bottled it against Huddersfield this last week. So much so that they've now been fined for ref abuse. So it's quite simple. Everything that happens around this game. Okay, it'd be nice to see Man City win, because then they go to 100 points. No one's ever done that. Well, no one's ever got to 97 where they currently are. They'll be away to Southampton on Saturday at 4 o'clock. The big game to watch out for, the big games to watch out for, Liverpool are hosting Brighton at 4 o'clock. So they need to, if Liverpool lose that match and then Chelsea beat Newcastle United away, all these games at 4 o'clock, they'll get the fourth spot into the Champions League. So that's all you need to worry about with regards to the Premier League. What you do have to worry about with the PSL, which is the local edition here in South Africa, is, well, obviously Sundowns have won that. But then you look to the bottom and Platinum Stars are already gone. But now IS Cape Town, SuperSport United, Polokwane City and Baroka FC, one of those teams is going to go into the promotion relegation battle, so their matches are highly anticipated and so much pressure, especially with SuperSport United. What a great team they were recently, but they've kind of gone towards the towards the lavatory, to put it bluntly. So this is all happening tomorrow, Saturday. All games at 3 o'clock South African time. Ajax will be taking on Kaizer Chiefs. That'll be at 3. Bloem Celtic versus Sundowns. Just a bit of a victory lap there for Sundowns again. Maritzburg United versus Golden Arrows. AmaZulu will be taking on Cape Town City. SuperSport United will be hosting Baroka. So both of those teams are in the mix to trying to stay up. So that's a huge, huge match there. Polokwane will take on Chipper. Orlando Pirates versus Free State Stars. And then Platinum Stars versus Wits. Wits have had a horrible season, but they're just outside of the drop zone. So, well, they're just going to hopefully play for pride, as they say. But talking of local football, the PSL have announced, along with Sundowns, that Barcelona are coming to play a match here in South Africa. Yeah, it's on.
Awesome.
May the 16th, so next week.
Jeez.
How about that? Yeah? Just like that. So it was Sundowns were talking to Barcelona, and then PSL were going, well, actually, as part of the internal domestic season, so I don't know if we can do this. But then you think, like, okay, so we're the PSL and we want to maybe decline Barcelona. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're coming through and it's going to happen. It'll be Wednesday, May 16th at 6 o'clock. It'll be at the FNB Stadium in Soweto, which is obviously the big flagship stadium. It's the host of the World Cup final. And if you want to get in there, well, the tickets are going to be level 5, which is where you high up, $40, all the way down to level 1 West, just the top ticket there for 550 rand. No confirmation just yet how strong this Barcelona team is going to be.
That was my question.
Of course, they've won La Liga already. They're not in the Champions League. It is a World Cup year, so I wouldn't say Suarez, Messi, it's not guaranteed they're going to be here, but
they don't
still
have
a good
crap
squad.
Players though, Barcelona, so it'll still totally be worth watching.
They've got a big squad, it'll be totally worth watching. On to rugby for the weekend. It is Super Rugby. Now, we haven't had a look at the log for quite some time because a lot of these games just feel like it's blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the Australian log's currently being held, headed up by the Waratahs. They've on 25 points, Rebels second on 21. The Crusaders currently head up the hotly contested New Zealand Conference on 38 points. But then the Hurricanes, very close behind at 36. And then in the South African Conference, the Lions top there with 31. But then we've got the Hagawadith on 24. I know what you're saying. The Hagawadith are not African, but we lump them into our jaw.
Got a cool name, though.
Yeah, the Hagawadith. So if overall standings see the Crusaders first, Lions second, Waratahs third, Hurricanes fourth, Highlanders fifth, and the Chiefs are in sixth at the moment. So to put that into your weekend's fixtures, Lots of good games to look forward to here. The Blues, they are taking on the Hurricanes. The first game up today, 9:35. Sunwolves versus the Reds tomorrow morning at 5. The Crusaders will take on the Waratahs. That's going to be a big match. Ultimately, the New Zealand team will win at 7:15. Highlanders versus the Lions. The Lions have made, I think, 5 or 6 changes for this one. No Malcolm Marks. He's got the hamstring injury, which will see him out of action for quite a while, actually. He'll miss all the junior internationals as well. They'll be taking on, away to the Highlanders. Highlanders have got a couple of injury concerns themselves, plus they're resting Aaron Smith. 9:35 tomorrow morning. Brumbies versus the Rebels, 11:45. Stormers versus the Chiefs at Newlands. So a 50-50 fan split there. That'd be 3:05. And the Bulls versus the Sharks, 5:15. Big match there. Of course, the Sharks hammered the Highlanders last week, and the Bulls lost to the Stormers quite convincingly. So you can pick your favorites there and have a bloody good rugby weekend. On the golfing front, the Players' Championship teed off yesterday, and Webb Simpson, Dustin Johnson, Alex Noren, Chesson Hadley, Matt Kuchar, and Patrick Cantlay all came firing out the blocks on 6 under par there. So like our defending champion Siwoo Kim, just one back. All the biggest names, 49 of the world's top 50 golfers are playing in this tournament, which is, of course, known as the unofficial fifth major. It is the PGA Tour's showpiece event, and it's been played at the TPC Sawgrass. It's a tough course, not the longest course, but there's a huge premium on just placement around there, and there's lots of water, there's trees, there's hazards all over the place, and you will see the best in the world have a big sweat over the weekend golf wise and then I guess that's kind of all we've got time for, really. We need to get into our next feature, but that is your sport for the weekend. If you miss anything, of course, cliffcentral.com. And you'll find all the interesting chats and discussions around sport for this week. But we must get on to our Lifestyle Home Garden feature. Now, as you know, we've had Lifestyle Home Garden very much involved with Cliff Central of late. When you arrive at our building here, there's an incredible sort of veggie patch they're putting together. So they've boxed a whole bunch of really cool stuff for us. And Jane is diligently making sure this is still alive and kicking and going well. It's getting enough sun. It's getting all the water content. But here's 5 minutes of info to help you flourish with your winter herbs and veggies. Now, I myself am a qualified grower of kale.
You're a herb guy.
I've harvested it 3 or 4 times. And I tell you what, I feel good. I feel good that I'm doing it.
Sure. Mm. But we're talking edible herbs here, not the stuff that you smoke. Like, you're that kind of herb guy.
You can eat that too.
That could
Well, yes, you could.
If you want to go deep into the nether realm.
Okay, good.
So, 5 minutes to help you flourish with your winter herbs and veggies. Ideas of what herbs and veggies to plant now and how to help them thrive through winter. Because obviously, winter's a bit of a tough season, especially here on the high felts. You wake up in the morning, it's almost like nature does not want you to leave bed. So, what to do with your winter herbs and veggies? As you know, Lifestyle helped us create our little edible garden. It's always good to point out it's edible. So Jane and Ari are officially responsible for that. If you too want an edible garden Lifestyle have built for us here at Cliff Central Studios, this is what you should start with. Okay, key points. Got to concentrate on this one. You can choose between sowing seeds, planting smaller seedlings, or planting fully grown or bigger plants already bearing the veggies. So obviously there's a process here. If you want to go from the seedlings, which is really, really rewarding, and when you eventually see the fruits of your labor, so to speak, that's how you start. Or just hoi them in as is.
Mm.
And then, you know, like if you have no confidence that you can actually make it happen,
yeah,
maybe go for the last option there. If you want to sow seeds, now is a great time to sow broad beans, onions, peas, Chinese cabbage, carrots, winter lettuce, radish, Swiss chard, and parsnips. Many people enjoy sowing seeds versus planting seedlings as they can enjoy the process of growth from start to finish. There we go. But all of those things there, I mean, I'm just straight away, I'm thinking this is a mad stir fry.
Yeah.
Things like tomatoes, chilies, and melons won't thrive in the cold weather, so you should avoid sowing them right now, which is a very good point. Veggies that are available now to plant as seedlings and bigger shrubs are parsley, lettuce, pak choi, spinach, celery. I mean,
bok choy is a jewel, man. They use it in a lot of like Thai dishes and Chinese dishes.
It's a conversation starters you can have by planting things like pak choy, spinach, celery, cabbage, garlic, chives, and lavender. Seedlings are young plants that you can pick and eat almost straight away after planting. Okay, so it's actually, I never knew this.
You kind of get a feeling like when you listed the summery vegetables and plants, and you listed the wintry stuff that you should plant now. You almost get like you go, an onion and a carrot do feel like wintry things, whereas a chili and a tomato feel a bit more like summery things. It makes sense.
It does make sense because we're given these things at certain seasons for certain needs. So, I mean, this is how it goes. Leafy greens especially thrive in the colder winter months, and so look for seedlings and plants of lettuce, peas, leeks, and other oriental greens to plant now. You've got to fertilize your herbs and veggies with an organic 6-3-4 fertilizer. That's not some overblown football team. A 6-3-4 fertilizer is what you need here. Always feed your herbs and veggies and other edibles with organic fertilizer, which is key because think about it. You're eating this, right? You don't want to grow it with rubbish because you're going to then maybe eat rubbish. So as you don't want to put chemicals or things to plant, you know, because it's going to go in your kitchen. Simple. Mulch. Okay, mulch is a big word. Mulch now, this means covering your beds of soil surrounding your herbs and veggies with an organic medium like peach pips, bark, or even fallen autumn leaves to keep the plants and their roots protected during winter. And remember, the more you pick and eat or use, the more your plants will grow. So keep using your edibles and they will increase your yield.
That's so cool. What, like you picking them off makes them grow more in the place of what you picked off?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a constant rejuvenation process here. I mean, this is beautiful. Why would you not want to do this? Because if you go to the shops, obviously you're just buying all this stuff. It's easy. But how cool is that? It's like the gift that doesn't stop giving.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be chatting about how to care for your orchards. We know many people struggle with these indoor beauties and need a bit of help in caring for them. Again, like they're so
cool. Orchids or orchids?
That's a good question.
No human has ever been able to keep an indoor orchid alive,
This is a very good point. This is maybe a typo here. Let's go with what Gord said. So those beautiful plants, the orchids.
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, an orchid is the one. It's like one stalk and a beautiful flower that dies in your lounge, and an orchard is like a rows of trees that grow apples or whatever.
Spot on, Gord. Well done. See, your English skills are coming here. So we're talking orchids next week, which are great because when you give someone an orchid,
that's the most beautiful Freudian slip of all time. As an orchid.
When you give someone an orchid, it's awkward when it dies, and they're like, yeah, cool. So when you receive it, they're very grateful. But now you can receive it and be given information because next week we're talking about orchids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this gives me hope because it is possible. I've got a very good friend who's got a little pot next to her bed with the stalk of a dead orchid, and it's been there since I've known her. Like, she keeps it.
It's awkward. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. I love these features because you think, like, I'm going to make this happen. And when you've got living things in your house, your abode, your place of work, everything feels nicer. Yeah. I mean, we've got things living behind my belly here. They give off oxygen.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you've got living things.
We've got living things, yeah.
Of the kind of cactusy sort of vibe.
Yeah, how very nice. So that wraps up your first hour with us here on Cliff Central for your Friday. We've got Lorna Maseko coming in at 7:30, and then 8 o'clock, Tubi Crenier. That is a replay of Gareth's interview with Tubi, which was originally played last December. Now, of course, he is one of South Africa's most celebrated and iconic actors. He's been through all different kinds of stage performances. He's been a star of TV, movies, the whole deal. So you've got a lot to look forward to. Plus, George Meany with the Auto Central feature, telling us all about what's happening in the world of cars right now. I mean, we all love cars deep down, do us guys. And a lot of girls do too, because let's be honest, they're a massive part of our lives. So what George does is he comes in once a week, he gives you the snapshots, he gives you all the great stories. He's kind of like the Mavali Maloy of five things you need to know for cars.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't want that? I'll tell you what you also want. You want some Friday music, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Of course we do.
Okay, well, I'm gonna treat you to...
Let it be a banger, Ben. Let it be a banger.
I had an idea, and then, of course, well, today happens, and I'm juggling a couple of things here. But let's try this. Yesterday, the Catriona song went down quite well. We had a couple of messages about that. So we're going to play another one today. And hi, Simone Gillis. She's just arrived into the box. She makes all the podcasts together, which you can listen on cliffcentral.com. Happy Friday.
I feel like it's...
Long intro.
It's coming, yeah. I feel coming. Like it's building.
Catronata with
Ben
light spots.
DJ Ben K on the decks.
Dropping it hot for your Friday. Here comes Gorda's coming.
Embracing myself.
Great music video, by the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.